Welcome to the Wedding Guest Extraordinaire podcast with me, Sarah Southern. Join me each week as I talk everything weddings, taking you from engagement to honeymoon, and making sure that you really do enjoy planning your big day. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Wedding Guest Extraordinaire podcast with me, Sarah Southern. I hope that you're all well, and thank you for listening to the podcast. Some interesting and exciting news to kick off with. If you're keen on comedy and keen on the royal wedding, I'm going to be hosting a royal wedding comedy show at Angel Comedy in Islington at the Bill Murray Pub on Saturday the 12th of May, which is the Saturday before the royal wedding. It's between 4pm and 6pm. It'll be me plus four other comics celebrating all the joy of Harry and Meghan. And there might be a few people in there who perhaps aren't as keen on weddings, just to balance things out. I'll be announcing all the guests over the next couple of weeks. But if you'd like to come to that, the tickets will be available at angelcomedy.co.uk, and details will also be on my website, weddingguestextraordinaire.com, but I'll also be giving more details about that next week as well. Anyway, on to today's guest. I'm quite excited about this one. I'm joined by someone who is a Savile Row tailor, someone who also has their own line at Debenhams, and indeed a guest on the Great British Sewing Bee. It is, of course, Patrick Grant. I've known Patrick for a number of years, and I felt that he would be the perfect person to have a chat with about men's fashion. So I went over to his house the other day, and we had a lovely chat about his passions, about what men should be wearing, and his very precise nature of what men should perhaps be wearing on their wedding day. And also advice of, you know, everything from a high-end Savile Row suit right the way through to buying things on the high street. So let's dive in and have a listen. Hi, Patrick. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
No, my absolute pleasure. I'm delighted that you've been able to join us. The reason I wanted you to come on the podcast is obviously a lot of focus in weddings focuses on the bride, if there is a bride involved, of course, and choosing her dress and the bridesmaid's outfits, and indeed things like the mother of the bride's outfit.
But we don't get an outfit?
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
okay. It's a big political issue.
Is it?
Mother of the bride and indeed mother of the groom outfits.
Is she enforced? Does she have to wear something terrible like bridesmaids? Or is she allowed to look nice?
She's got to look nice, but she's got to go on a special day out to John Lewis to choose it and such like.
Other department stores are available.
Yeah, they could go to Debenhams.
They could and should.
But I thought you'd be the perfect person to speak to about what the groom should be wearing. Mm. As obviously you are a menswear expert, what with being a Savile Row tailor, having a line in Debenhams, and then, I don't know what I would call e-torts. Is that also a Savile Row tailor or what?
Well, no, it's men's ready-to-wear.
Men's ready-to-wear. And of course you are a judge on the British Sewing Bee.
The Great
British, Great British Sewing Bee.
Because it is great.
It is great. I do enjoy it a lot. So I thought you would be a good person to kind of pick your brains as to what advice we can give to people who are picking their outfit for the groom. Like, if you were attending a wedding this Saturday,
yes,
what would you be wearing as a guest? Let's start off there.
Well, I would probably wear, as you know, because we've both been to a wedding together, I would probably wear my kilt. Mm-hmm. And as a Scotsman and a non-Scotsman, I mean, let's not be too restrictive about this. The kilt is a lovely thing to wear at a wedding. The idea of family tartan and all of this stuff was a sort of Victorian marketing ploy. So, you know, wear whatever kilt you like, have a nice time, pick one that looks good. But there are two basic forms of kilt dress. And for weddings, the correct one is day dress, which means simply that your sporran should be plain leather and you should wear a tweed jacket. You can wear a tweed jacket with or without a waistcoat, but it should be a simple tweed jacket, typically in a nice, soft sort of country colour, like a pale green or a pale brown or, you know, something subtle and of the hillside. looks correct. Charcoal also increasingly popular. Fine, nice. Your tweed jacket should typically have horn buttons, and you should wear a plain coloured shirt, white, pale blue, with probably a fairly subtle plain coloured tie. Wool ones are nice. We sell those. Norton & Sons. And then pop a little something in your buttonhole.
And is that what you would wear if you were a groom as well?
If you were a groom, exactly the same. Yeah. You would wear day dress in the same way. Typically, you can wear coloured wool socks. You should wear black shoes. Typically brogued, and that's it. It's, you know, again, with all of these things, you know, it's a standard formula, and trying to express something about your personality through breaking a long established code of dress is probably not a good idea, in my view.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of weddings I've been to lately, I've seen the grooms in a version of a morning suit. I wouldn't say it's a proper morning suit, because often the coat hasn't been tailed. It's almost got a straight hem.
Right.
And then the ties are these weird ruched.
The thing. What is this? Yeah, this thing. I don't know where this thing came from.
Well, they're awful. It's as though they've got elastic in them, so they're shiny and they're ruched.
Yes. It's a sort of bastard son of a tie and a cravat.
Yeah.
It's neither one nor the other. It looks like a sort of half-melted Mr. Whippy, and it's typically in some sort of cheap-looking fake satin in, you know, purple or pink or... I mean, I think if you're going to wear morning dress, again, there are simple rules. Okay, so to finish off on kilts, again, the shirt should be a regular turn-down collar and wear a normal tie.
Mm.
Can't stress that enough. And that is the pattern, and that is lovely, and you will look great. If you choose to wear morning dress, again, it's a set routine. Morning dress is well established, well done, it looks beautiful and simple and understated and elegant. And I think that is what the groom ultimately is aiming to achieve. He doesn't want to look back at his photos 10 years from now and think, oh my goodness, why was I allowed to go out wearing that?
And do you think there's any body shapes, or indeed heights, that men can't wear morning suits? Because I do sometimes look at men on their wedding day and I just think, it's like you've gone to, like you're a child and you've gone into the adult section and you've got all these like weird clothes on. Like,
well,
you've not dressed to your best.
Well, you know, the point is, those of us that are further from the norm, it is more difficult. If you are a nice, easy, regular body shape or pretty close to it, you will be able to go and pick up an off the peg or even a rental morning suit that's going to look okay. And if you buy one, then you can go and see a decent tailor and they can, you know, alter it a little and make it fit well. But, you know, most of us today don't own morning dress. You know, some of us might be fortunate enough to have had a hand-me-down from father or grandfather that might be kicking around somewhere, and that's always a good starting point. But if you want to wear morning dress, and, you know, I think morning dress looks great, there are two basic options with morning dress. There's a three-piece suit that is all matching, typically in a darkish grey, mid to dark grey, even as dark as charcoal. That, for me, is the smartest of the options, of the two options, and that is what the Duke of Edinburgh wears. It's what you see, you know, it's what I wear. I think it's more chic and more elegant, and it's not the thing that you find if you go to Moss Bros, because they typically do the other version, which is black herringbone morning tails, a waistcoat which is usually buff or duck egg blue or dove grey or primrose yellow, and then what are called cashmeres, which are not cashmere anymore, but they were traditionally, and those are the striped trousers. always worn with a black closed-laced shoe. And if you don't know the difference between a closed lace and an open lace shoe, just look at them. Closed lace, Oxfords are open. Closed lace, Derbys are open lace. I'm getting too technical for
no,
you.
No, I like
I'm
it.
Losing you.
I like it.
Anyway, dark, black calfskin shoe in a closed lace with a morning suit. And again, ordinary shirt. No wing collars anywhere near a wedding. Regular shirt collar. Again, pale blue, pale pink, pale yellow, white, something simple, and then a plain tie. I mean, it can have a little bit of a pattern, but certainly not Homer Simpson or, you know, anything comedy, anything loud pattern. You know, if you can wear, a club stripe, you can wear a regimental stripe. But again, keep it, if you don't have one of those, just wear something really simple.
And do you think that a tie is sometimes a way of tying in with what the bride or the bridesmaids are doing with their outfit?
That should be about the most you attempt to tie in with the bride's outfit. And even then, I don't think you need to. There is absolutely no necessity for the groom in any way to be tying himself in. I mean, again, you could wear a buttonhole that is, you know, a piece of the same flower that might be in the bouquets. There are really, really subtle ways of showing your attachment to the whole aesthetic scheme of the wedding. But again, you know, I don't have any belief that ushers should necessarily wear the same thing as grooms. I don't think there's any need for this to be a sort of parade. If you don't have this stuff, going out and buying a load of morning coats or renting a load of morning coats is a right big expense, and it's kind of like you'll never, if you buy one, you might go to the races once in a while, you might go to some other weddings in it, but that's about it. I mean, obviously we make morning coats and we'd be delighted to make one, but they are expensive. You know, a three-piece morning suit from Savile Row, you're looking probably about 6,000 quid.
Wowzers, that's quite pricey.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you brought up the fact that you don't think the ushers and the best man and the groom need to have the same outfit on, as I totally agree with you on that in the same way. I don't necessarily think bridesmaids need to be in the same outfit. I think there's a way of making people clearly part of the team.
Yeah.
Without having to have them in a uniform,
yeah.
You know, whether that be the floral arrangements or a tie or whatever it might be. I don't think...
Well, just the fact that they're standing next to each other in a line.
Yes, quite, exactly. The fact
they're
that
clearly
they're
part of the gang.
Yeah. The fact that they're there. I do also think what's interesting about you saying about people investing in these outfits, you know, it is quite expensive to go to Moss Bros or any other high street style rental places to get your morning suit. Is this a real opportunity for a man to go and buy a sharp suit that, yes, he's going to wear on his wedding day, but he can have for future court appearances and the like?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't think... If you don't own a morning coat and you don't have access to a good morning coat... I mean, your point about body shapes and all of the rest of it, you know, we can make anyone look great in a morning coat. You know, you know, we've dressed people with waists from, you know, 26 to 64. You know, we've dressed people that are 7 foot tall and 5 foot tall. You know, some are a combination of those two extremities. And, you know, we can make anyone look great in a morning suit. But, you know, again, you're going to pay a hefty price tag to have a Savile Row tailor make you a morning suit. And, you know, it'll last you a century. You know, get it while you're young, you'll get some use out of it over time. But for many people, that's just too much money when you're already shelling out, frankly, a silly amount of money on your wedding. So your opportunity is quite straightforward. I mean, just have a simple, plain, dark suit. I mean, most of the grooms I advise at Norton & Sons, you know, I say to them, just wear a simple dark navy suit. You know, it's a suit that we can cut for you, that will look beautiful and, again, elegant, simple, understated. You know, we don't want grooms, you know, competing for attention with the bride. You know, the groom's job, in my opinion, is to look, you know, to be the sort of perfect understated foil for the bride that's standing next to him. And I think it's a perfect opportunity to have a really nice, simple, you know, navy or charcoal suit that you will then wear a lot for ages and get loads of joy out of it.
So if someone walks into your Savile Row tailor and wants to have a bespoke suit made, how much time should they allow for that to be made?
Well, they should probably, I mean, if they, it depends where they live, but if they live within short commute of Savile Row, probably 3 months, that would be sufficient time to cut and fit a suit. Obviously, if you don't live in London, you're going to need to leave yourself, you know, you're going to have to travel down and all of that. Typically, you need to come 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
So, and typically 2 or 3 weeks between each visit to allow us to do the stuff that we need to do in between. So, I mean, why stress about it? I mean, we often get guys who come in and the conversation always starts with, you know, I'm definitely going to lose weight before my wedding. And occasionally that actually happens. And most of them have very good intentions to do that. But again, you know, so the worry is you start having a suit fitted in March and you're a 38 waist and by June you're a 34. That's fine. We can take things in. We can do little bits and pieces like that. The tricky bit about fitting suits is, you know, your body position, your posture, the position of your head and your shoulders and all of that. So come in and leave yourself plenty of time. It's the same if you're going to have a made-to-measure suit made. I mean, again, made-to-measure is like a sort of simplified bespoke. So what happens with made-to-measure? With bespoke, we start from scratch. We measure you in all directions. We look at your body shape and we cut from scratch on a big piece of paper you in 3D. And that is the only way to get a really great fit on the human body, because the human body is all curves and shapes. Made to measure is a simplified thing where you come in and we try on, you know, a 38 long or a 42 reg or whatever, and then we mark it up and we adjust it. So we sort of take it in, let it out, shorten it, lengthen it. So it's a sort of 2D-ish, to think about it simply as a sort of two-dimensional version of what in bespoke is a sort of three-dimensional adjustment process. But you can still get a good fitting suit, and, you know, again, you can choose what you want in terms of fabric and style. And that process, again, will take sort of 10 to 12 weeks. So don't leave it too late. And, you know, the other good thing about going to a good tailor is we will help you pick the other bits and pieces if you want. You know, we'll help you choose a good tie, we'll help you choose the right shirt, you know, we'll advise you on footwear. Again, I always think you should wear black leather shoes to get married in. The world is turning up in all sorts of weird brown, and that is, you know, that causes me to frown. it's, you know, it's a formal occasion, and unless the whole wedding is doing something very different, I think black shoes are appropriate, especially for members of the groom's party.
So obviously we've kind of discussed the higher end, as it were, there, which won't be an option for a lot of people.
Yep.
So if you're heading to the high street,
yep,
what's the best way of selecting the best suit for your budget?
Well, I mean, firstly, find out, you know, decide what your budget is. I mean, this is a big day and, you know, you want to look good. And, you know, often weddings are in the summer, so it might, if you're getting married in this country, be hot. And you don't want a suit that's going to have you sweating buckets. You might already be, you know, tending to sweat a little just through obvious nervousness. So, you know, you want to choose something that is lightweight. Ideally, you want to avoid polyester wool, and often the suits will very sneakily say things like wool blend or, you know, wool mix, which probably means it's polyester and wool. Try and get a pure wool suit. It just breathes much better, and a lightweight, openly woven wool, like a Panama or a Fresco or just a plain woven wool cloth, will breathe much better. And again, if you go somewhere where they know something about suits, they will be able to give you good advice. But choose, I would say, a dark grey or a dark blue, simply cut, 2-button, classic-looking suit. I think your wedding day is not a day for experimenting on your dress. I mean, most men tend to wear quite normal stuff. Don't choose your wedding day as the day in which you try and express something new about your personality through your clothes.
I couldn't agree more with that. I am sometimes astonished when I see what grooms are wearing at a wedding. And I think this doesn't present who you are as a person or your personality or the way that you live your life. Why have you chosen today to go totally off script? It's really bizarre. Now, obviously, in this country, we are quite traditional. Like, normally, the dress code to attend a wedding will say morning suit or will say lounge suit. But if you get married in the States, more often than not, people are in evening wear, so they're in a tuxedo. Yes, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you won't be surprised to hear that I don't, you know, there's a clue in the name, you know, evening wear is for wearing, you know, if you want to get changed for dinner, I mean, you could probably just about get away with that. It's not normal behaviour. But, you know, evening wears for evenings. At weddings, black tie at a wedding, I don't think, looks right. I don't think. Black bow ties, black, it's in the same way that, you know, kilt wear you shouldn't wear a Prince Charlie or a Braemar, and a bow tie during a daytime wedding. I just don't think it looks right. It just looks a bit spivvy to me. And apologies to all of those who may have already done it. But it, you know, I just it doesn't feel, you know, this isn't an evening dinner party. This is a wedding, and I mean, also it just looks a bit austere, really.
I've been to a few weddings in the States where that has been the dress code, and it has worked, but I think that's because culturally...
Well, they are culturally different, yes.
Whereas, I don't think I've ever been to a wedding... Actually, no, I tell a lie, I've been to one wedding where the only people who were in black tie was the groom and the ushers, and it looked as though they were off to a cocktail party, while the rest of us were off to the village hall.
We were stuck eating dinner with their parents and in-laws, yeah.
Basically. I saw pictures in the paper this week of, it's a bit random, of Justin Bieber's father's wedding. And they got married on the beach.
Yes.
So they had tailored shorts.
Okay.
And then white shirts, sleeveless, and then little bow ties. What advice would you give to people?
Don't do that, is my advice. I mean, get married on the beach by all means.
But when people are having a more
but
outside...
But don't try. If you're having an outside, casual, on-the-beach wedding, don't then try and bring some of the formality of an evening American inside wedding to that situation. You know, dress... You know, the I can't remember who it was that said it, but the sort of... The advice... I think it might be Edward VII, but it's like, be always... well and appropriately dressed. If you're getting married on a beach, just wear beach clothes.
I would agree with that. My cousin got married a few years ago, and they basically got married in a tent. It was a humanist ceremony. It was very humorful. humanist ceremony in their garden. And they're quite an alternative couple, and he basically had a nice pair of trousers and a shirt on. And I just thought, that represents who you are as a couple. We're all sitting on hay bales, the service. Be who you are.
Yeah. Be who you are and dress sort of appropriately to where you are and what you're doing. I mean, a wedding doesn't have to be, you know, two families sitting either side of an aisle in a church. If you choose to have a wedding that is entirely different... Don't feel bound by the rules that apply to that sort of wedding. And, you know, similarly, people, you know, obviously a lot of people now getting married in registry offices and other locations. You don't, you know, it probably doesn't feel right to be wearing morning dress in that situation. So I think, you know, I think ultimately for men attending weddings, you want to make sure that you look like you've really made an effort. So also whatever you wear... Just make sure your trousers are well pressed, your jacket is brushed, your shirt is beautifully ironed, your shoes are polished, your laces are tied. I mean, honest to God, look down at people's shoes as they're walking into churches. Scuffed toes, open laces. Just, you know, be respectful of the occasion. I mean, whatever the dress code happens to be, you know... Maybe brush, run a comb through your hair. Something.
Maybe have an early night the night before,
Make sure your nails aren't full of mud, that sort of stuff. But, you know, again, it doesn't... whatever the code is, try and do whatever the code is as well as you can and pay as much respect. You know, again, you may not agree with what the bride and groom have chosen to be the dress code for their wedding, but tough. It's their wedding, and be respectful of it and try and, you know, don't... If they say morning dress, don't turn up in a collarless, you know, printed shirt and a jacket and a pair of jeans. Just... That might be how you dress normally, but it's not your day.
Totally agree. I do, however, think that if you've put morning dress on your invitation and someone just turns up in a nice suit, don't worry about it.
Some
people have already spent an absolute fortune getting to your wedding. Yeah. Don't get your knickers in a twist if someone hasn't followed the rules exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, I think as much as anything, that is just an indication that at one end of the wedding, that's what people are going to be wearing. So... don't turn up in shorts and flip-flops. You know, if you don't have a morning suit, of course, don't go out and buy one if you're just sitting in the church. But absolutely wear a good suit that's dark and simple and you know, and appropriate to the occasion.
Now, there's obviously a very big wedding coming up soon in May, the royal wedding. What is your prediction as to what Prince Harry will be wearing?
Well, I mean, he's got all sorts of choices. I mean, he could marry in uniform. I mean, I think he'll either be in uniform or he'll be in morning dress.
Because when Prince William got married in 2011, he was in a Welsh Guards uniform, which isn't his regiment. But the Queen said to him, this is what you're wearing,
really?
Because it's a better uniform. It looks more attractive than the regiment that he's in.
Yeah.
And now Harry's in, well, formerly was in the Blues and Royals because he's obviously not in the army anymore.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see whether, I mean, I hope he's in a military uniform.
I think that's great.
I would hope that he would be.
Yes. There'll be a lot of twinkling if he turns up in uniform. I mean, he'll look great anyway. He's a cool looking guy. I think he's got good style.
And have you got a prediction as to who will be designing Meghan Markle's dress?
I have no clue. I see that Posh denied that she had any involvement in it. So, not her.
It definitely won't be her.
I wouldn't have thought it was going to be her anyway, but she did take the trouble of denying it, which I thought was useful for everyone. I don't know. I mean, I hope that... I mean, she is American, but... you know, she is marrying into the British royal family. I would hope that she would choose one of the many excellent British designers.
So who would be your top three?
My top three, I would say, who knows? How about... well, I think McQueen would have to be in the running because of their, you know, of their previous involvement and their stage and their stature. How about Westwood? That would be nice. Christopher Kane, throw that one in there.
Well, that's good. Well, I've put my money on Rollo Murray.
Have you? Yeah. A Frenchman?
Yeah.
What a British wedding. We love Roland.
He lives in Norfolk and is married to a British man, so...
well, I do like Roland. He's a sewing bee fan also.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy. Well, that's who my money's on.
All right. Well, it's probably not a bad shout. He's a bit bodycon for a wedding, don't you think? Or has he moved on?
He might go in a different direction.
Maybe
let's wait
will.
And see.
Anyway, what a treat for us all.
Well, roll on the 19th of May, I say. Well, thank you very much, Patrick. It's been really lovely talking to you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So there we have it. Patrick certainly speaks with a lot of passion about fashion, doesn't he? And goes into a lot of detail, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. I think what the main takeaway probably from everything he said is... if you're going to do something traditional, then follow the rules. If you're going to get a morning suit, then follow what you should be doing as a morning suit. Don't try and go a little bit off-piste. Stick to how it should be. And if you are Scottish and can wear a kilt, do. I certainly love seeing a man in a kilt when he's dressed properly. It's a very good look. So it was also quite interesting what he said about not needing for everyone in the wedding party to dress the same. The fact that you're all stood there is enough of an indicator that you're on the same team. And I do think that is becoming more and more of a trend for people to not have to all be in the same suit or the same dress when they're part of the wedding party, and for perhaps there just to be a hint of flowers or the same tie or whatever to show that you are all part of the same team, as it were. I also like the fact that he said, you know, dress appropriately for what you're doing. If you're having a beach wedding, you know, dress really casual. If you're having a wedding that is in a field with hay bales, again, dress casually. Don't try and smarten it up just because it's your wedding day. You can dress really nicely and appropriately for where you are. I do also think the advice of, you know, investing in a really sharp suit is a good one. It can be used many times for other things. And also, you know, dress to your budget. If you can afford to have a Savile Row suit made, brilliant. Lucky you. But if you can't, you know, go to the high street, work out exactly what you can get. I know that Patrick has got a really nice range in Debenham, so I'm sure he'd be delighted if you went and checked that out. But I really enjoyed chatting to Patrick. It's great to speak to someone who is so knowledgeable about something and indeed so passionate. And I think his passion really comes out. And let's see whether he or I am right about the wedding dress for Meghan Markle in a couple of months' time. Anyway, do tune in next week. We should hopefully have another guest on who we'll be discussing fashion with, but we'll get that announced in the week maybe. Do follow us on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook at Wedding Guest Pod. Do have a look on our website, weddingguestextraordinaire.com. There is more advice and information about the interview. And do subscribe and give us a rating if you fancy. Apparently it helps other people find us. But I'm Sarah Southern, your wedding guest extraordinaire. Do take care.